Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, people, we're so glad to have you back. Eddie Miller had to step away for a minute. My name is David Shalom, and you're listening to the Holy Jew Radio. We worship Jews here. We worship Israel. And we have our building right here in Bellevue Baptist Church because, us Judeo-Christians, we're all, and Jews, we're all one and the same. And we've all sold out, man. Hey, I had to laugh. I get so mad. I really have to just joke about it sometime. Anyway, bring the one and only Mr. Fred Lutcher back on. So it's Miss Monica, Fred, and myself. And we're going to finish your show tonight. And I'm going to ask Mr. Fred what he wants to do. I got some solutions I want to finish covering before the show's over. But Mr. Fred, would you like to, what do you want to do right now? Do you want to cover that video that Wes sent you? What do you want to do?
Yeah, why don't we do that?
Okay, go ahead. Fire away. Miss Monica's going to help you out.
I think what's actually going on here is this is just saber rattling. All they're doing is that's how they keep the people always on edge. Nobody knows what's going to happen. Everybody thinks it's going to be imminent to have war. But there's no point in us having trucks with rockets on them. A short distance from Moscow, because we can launch a missile from here and take Moscow out. So, I mean, all they're doing is playing games. It's called gamesmanship. And I don't really think anything's going to happen with this thing. The same thing happened with the missile crisis, the Cuban missile crisis. I mean, that was a big joke too, because Kennedy presumably turned them away. But in fact, Kennedy didn't turn them away. What happened was they made a deal. The Russians made Kennedy look good because they turned their ship around and went home. But in actuality, what happened is we made a deal. We got rid of Wheeler's Air Force Base in Africa. We got rid of one of the Air Force bases in Texas, and I forgot where the other one was, because the Russians didn't like SAC airplanes within reach of dropping atomic bombs. Did you say something?
Yes, I said the United States, I call it the United States, had a Air Force base in Turkey, if I'm not mistaken, and that was part of the deal that they would get their, the United States would get their Air Force base out of Turkey. But continue on, Fred.
We had one in Africa, too. It was Wheeler's Air Force Base, I think. Or maybe that was the one in Turkey. It's been so long, I don't remember the names of all these things. But, I mean, the point, it's all gamesmanship, and they play back and forth. And it's somebody's turn now. They're going to say, all right, I'll give a little and let you look good, or you give a little and let me look good. And that's what's happening because, it's just gamesmanship. Then nobody's about to launch missiles at each other. Nobody's about to attack each other because it's not beneficial.
So, well, you know what? I hope you're right, but we'll know within probably 4 to 6 weeks because, they hate. My view is the Jew world order hates. They hate the Russians. They despise them. And I'm sure you people know this. This is kind of old hat, but I've got to go over it, we've got to go over it. You know, the Jews killed the Tsar and his family. Everybody probably knows about that. Prior to World War I, the Jews killed the Tsar because he was supposedly anti-Semitic. And, you know, he just didn't like Jews taking over his whole country and running them into the ground financial-wise and just sucking their blood like they always do. That's what these Jewish parasites do. And, you know, the Jews totally, to quote or paraphrase Churchill, the Jews got a hold of Russia by the hair of the head and was shaking their head off. The Jews totally, 1917 on to the 1950, they totally controlled the Soviet Union. A very small percentage of Jews, a lot of them came from New York. Trotsky himself, I forgot his other Jew name, something Bernstein, I believe it was,
Bronstein, I think.
That's right, Lev Bronstein. That's right. The Jews totally controlled the Russia. To quote Alexander Solzhenitsyn, he said it was not a Russian revolution at all. He said the people that controlled Russia, they hated Russians. They hated them because of their Christianity, and they hated them because the Russians, like the Germans later on in World War II, they kicked these Russian bloodsuckers out, these Russian banksters, international banksters. They kicked them out, and they returned Russia to a Christian nation. And Russia right now is undergoing a massive evangelical. They're going, what do they call that? They're returning to Christianity, you know. And so they kicked the Russians out. The Russian Jews have no more. Excuse me, they kicked the Jews out. They have
right,
the Jews
that's
have,
what I was going to say.
They have no more.
Blood-sucking
no more,
Jews.
That's right. They kicked the blood-sucking Jews out. They don't. They kicked the banksters out. They kicked the queers out. It's against the law for a queer to evangelize to a child over there. They built churches on and on and on. They hate the Russians. What do you think about that, Monica?
And let's not forget that during that time, after they murdered the Tsar and his family, and then for the next several decades, how many millions, tens of millions of Russians were killed, tortured, worked to death, every unimaginable and imaginable way that they could be killed and tortured that was used on millions of Russians. That's what they did. And let's also not forget that they had pretty bizarre laws on the books, but they're looking very familiar here now. Things like anti-Semitism was punishable by death. So you could say, well, anti-Semitism is not quite yet punishable by death here, but that could very well be coming. I mean, I think that's the direction they want to head in. So what does that mean, anti-Semitism anyway? It just means telling the truth about what the Jews are doing, those who are behind all these things, and everything from the lies and crimes and turning our history upside down to the current plandemic, scamdemic, and wanting to inject everybody with this poisonous shot. That's a 100% a Jewish operation. So the same enemy.
Mark,
yes, go ahead.
You mentioned it. Yeah, you just, Alexander Solzhenitsyn, who he should know, he was in the Gulag. He said, it's strange that number six keeps coming up. He said upwards of 66 million whites perished in the Gulag system in the Soviet Union in Siberia. And keep in mind, people, that the Soviet secret police, the Cheka, and all the other secret police organizations, the Cheka being, I believe, probably the biggest, buddiest, it was controlled 100% by Jews. 100% by Jews. They killed millions and millions of white people. They starved the Ukrainians to death. They most certainly did. And you know, Miss Monica and Fred, I'm going to shut up and go to Fred. During this whole time, the United States government, the Jew United States government, they've been taken over by the Jews for way before President Woodrow Wilson even got in there. But they supported these stinking Jewish communists in Russia from the get-go. They support them. They give them money. They give them fuel, diesel fuel. They give them food, anything they get. Let's get this. Bernard Baruch even sent the plates over there so they could print American dollars. It sounds like a lie, but it's true. And get this, they support them. And you know, during the communist revolution in China, the United States supported Chiang Kai-shek, supported Mao Zedong the whole time. And they fought behind our back. They fought General Chiang Kai-shek. General Chiang Kai-shek wanted to have a constitutional republic. Representative Republic, like our government was supposed to be. And the whole time, the United States was parading as an anti-communist government. They supported these stinking Jews, these stinking Russians at every turn of the table. Fred, what do you think about that, my man?
Well, I think that's exactly true, and that's what's happened. I mean, we fought World War II against the Japanese. The Chiang Kai-shek's people, he fought with the U.S. Army and with the British troops, and the Communist Chinese, the Mao Zedong's group, they came along and they helped. They were a big help because we were fighting the Japanese, and everybody wanted to fight the Japanese. But unfortunately, what happened after that is that they grew too strong and they took over China, and they actually drove the Chinese government out of China onto Formosa. And that really is not an issue, and that really shouldn't have happened. We should have supported Chiang Kai-shek, and we did not.
That's right. You know, during the Korean War, Chiang Kai-shek, offered, I forgot the number of divisions. I'm going to say something like 15 to 20 divisions to the Allies, the so-called Allies. And Washington flat turned him down. You know, that's the reason why General Douglas MacArthur was hated so and withdrawn, and that's why they relieved him of his command. General MacArthur, like General Patton and the other generals knew, but they didn't have the guts to speak up. But General MacArthur knew the score, and you know he could have ended that war. He could have ended that so-called Korean War decisively if they would have turned him loose and let him go in and bomb the supply bases of the communists over in Red China. But you know, that's all I know. That's his history and everything. But I guess the point of this is that we've been taken over by a communist government for, well, the other day when we were talking about Lincoln, we had a guest on. I know Monica remembers her name. Abraham Lincoln was conversing, writing back and forth across the ocean with Karl Marx. Karl Marx and Abraham Lincoln saw eye to eye on economics and everything. They were great buddies. And with that, people, we got to go to a break. We come right back after this break.
I'm Pastor Everett Ramsey, pastor of Faith Baptist Church. A congregation of God's covenant people, informed Christians know that we are at the brink of a long-planned one-world government being executed that will not tolerate true Christian faith. There is a way to stop it. Our church has used God's spiritual weapons of warfare many times over the years, and in every case that was properly executed, the Church of Jesus Christ has been delivered. It is called the Court of Divine Justice. David used it many times. Read Psalm 37, Psalm 109. It includes truthful information, repentance, and imprecatory prayers. Blood River Radio is the only radio station I know that supports action based on truth about lies concerning the Confederacy, the Civil Rights Movement, the German people, the true Holocaust, and who the true covenant people of God are, and the sins and failures of the churches, if any of these this means anything to you, and it should, then please say so with your money, as well as prayers. You may obtain information from us about the Courts of Divine Justice by sending your offering and request to Blood River Radio, and we take none of the money.
I'm Monica Schaefer from Canada, a former political prisoner. Here at Blood River Radio, we are not afraid to tell the truth and shame the devil. Our mission is to fight against white genocide. We do that by exposing the lies. We talk about the American Civil War. We talk about the vilification of German people and by extension all white people. And we even talk about that linchpin lie, the Holocaust. Deception by the alien enemy within has brought us whites to our knees. My last words at the Schaefer's speech crime trial in Germany were, quote, "If there was a law forbidding us to breathe, we would break that law immediately just to live. And so it is with this law. We must break this law in order to survive and thrive as a people," unquote. Please donate to Blood River Radio and help keep us on the air.
Being this is a .44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off, you've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
Well, dear people, thank you for hanging on. We're going into, this is our second segment of our second hour. We've been talking about the NATO, United States, saber-rattling up on the border of Russia. And we were talking about why the Jew World Order hates the Russians. And we'll get right back to that. I would like to maybe talk about, well, I'll wait later. We'll cover these solutions later. Fred, do you have anything to add to that before we go back to Ms. Monica, what you were talking about?
Which point?
Okay, we were talking about, we were talking about, I think before we went to the break, my old brain is right, I mentioned the fact we had Miss Valerie Protopapas on there. I couldn't think of her name, but Cameron knew during the break. He told me Miss Valerie Protopapas, she was on last week, and she told us about how Abraham Lincoln was pen pals with none other than Karl Marx. They were great buddies. Karl Marx totally supported Abraham Lincoln in his war against the South. And we also talked about several times on the show before, and it's so true, and I'll go right back to Fred after this, and from Fred to Monica, that the United States, of the United States government, Sodom of the Potomac, Washington, D.C. under Lincoln, the very first nation that was invaded, to my knowledge, by that flag, by the United States flag, was the South. Because at the time that Lincoln invaded the South, the 13 states in the South had declared themselves a sovereign nation. I hate to keep talking about that because it seems like we're covering old ground. You know, maybe I don't want to cover too much. But we also said that was the first of many, many nations that this so-called United States government has invaded. That government, Washington, D.C., is a cancer. But we were talking about that, Fred. I think we were talking about, at least during the break, we were talking about how Abraham Lincoln was pen pals with Karl Marx. They were both communists. And it makes me wonder if Lincoln might have been a Jew. I mean, if he wasn't, he had two strikes against him. That's for damn sure. Go ahead, Fred. That's what we were talking about.
I don't know if he was a Jew, but he certainly was a traitor. So a lot of people who don't like to hear me say that, but I've said it before and I'll continue saying it, because he had no right to use federal troops within the United States. And you know, he was the prime cause for the Civil War.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt about that. Monica, you have anything to say after that? Miss Monica?
Yeah, sorry. I forgot to unmute myself.
Stop muting that phone, sister.
And that's when I came out with my most profound statements, you know, when I'm muted.
If you're like me, you could say what it was.
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, I mean, you're asking if he's Jewish or not. I have no idea, but all these people have their Jewish advisors. You know, that's who's running things. Like, when we were children, that was the biggest threat, was the communist threat on the other side of the world, right? Now, little did we know that it's the same people behind the scenes. I've got an echo here. Do you have that echo?
It was brief. It's nothing. It wasn't very concerning. Now go ahead.
Yeah, no, I've got earphones on and everything, so I'm not sure where that's coming from. But yeah, so this same group of people were running the show, you know, over in communist Soviet Union and other communist countries, as we're running the show in our Western nations. But we were made to believe that this was the biggest enemy, and we were, you know, put to fear the communist threat, rightly so, but not realizing that the same people were running things in our country too, and our countries, I should say, in the West here. So, yeah, it's the Jewish advisors always behind these things. So if he was a pen pal with Karl Marx, I mean, that kind of says a lot, doesn't it? If Abraham
absolutely,
Lincoln was.
You know, and Fred was absolutely right. There was a fellow named Professor Anthony Sutton. I would have given anything if we get him on our show. I don't know if he's dead, if he's still in hiding. He was stayed in hiding a long time, but he wrote volumes. Probably he was as smart as Dr. Stanley Monteith. Dr. Stanley Monteith was probably the smartest person I ever knew. He's bless his heart. He's gone to see the Lord now. But Professor Anthony Sutton wrote volumes. He was in the Stanford University, Hoover School of National Affairs, you know, he was there in the National Affairs, something like International Affairs. Anyway, he wrote these volumes called, in the name of his volumes were The Best Money Enemy Can Buy, which relates to what Fred said. To boil it down from, you know, 50,000 words, what he said, the details he covered was incredible in Professor Sutton's books. But the best enemy that money can buy, just like Fred said, the Jew World Order, they always have to have a boogerman. They always have to have an enemy. and to keep the people scared. You're always going to have, we're always just, you know, a few days away from war. And you know what? But the troubling part is we have had a lot of wars. This saber rattling has come to fruition as it is the incredibly bloody wars. I mean, just our war here, the bloodiest war the United States has ever participated in was in Lincoln's War, the 1860-1865. And then we've had countless other wars, but the biggest ones, as everybody knows, First World War, Second World War, and then lesser but horrible was Korea and Vietnam. But, sometimes the saber rattle does come to fruition, and one of these days we're going to have some maniac to pull the wrong cord. But I'm going to get some of these solutions here, y'all. And I'll get y'all to respond to them. Now, Fred wasn't on the air when I covered some of them. I might cover one or two again, but I'm going to go down my solution under Roman numeral 2. I did this while we're waiting on Mr. Buddy to come out. We need to ignore all court rulings. Any federal court ruling that comes down to the states now, we need to act like it never even existed. And that's including the Supreme Court of the United States. We need to just totally, we need to withdraw our subservience to them. We need to just disobey them. Let them rot on the vine, because these so-called courts are nothing but just Satan-run whorehouses. All these courts from top to bottom, they hate whites. They hate Christians with a satanic hatred. And the reason they hate it with a satanic hatred, because so many of these stinking Jews run these courts, and the Jews will always do just like Jesus Christ said over and over, and especially in St. John 8:44, when he looked at these Jews in the face, and not just any old Jew, he looked at the cream of the crop Jews, the scribes, the Pharisees, and the Sadducees, and he told them that he says, you are of your father, the devil, and you will do his will. You will kill, you will murder, you will steal. And that's who's running these courts, and we need to tell these courts to stick it. We need to dump. And we also need to refuse to be arrested by any federal agent, because they do not represent us. None of these people in the federal courts, none of these people in the police state, none of them represent us. They hate us. So why the hell will we go along with them? We need to tell our legislatures, I don't know if I mentioned this earlier, we just don't send any money to Washington, D.C. We need to stop with recognizing Israel, eliminate the dual citizenship. We need to, listen, here's this, but I'm going to shut up and let you go to y'all. We need to abolish the damn deep state. We need to get rid of the State Department. The State Department's been nothing but a damn den of vipers since day one. We need to get them, we need to try them, put them in a trial, and do what they're convicted of. If it calls for firing squad, we need to do it. We need to get rid of the entire intelligence apparatus, the CIA, the FBI, the NSA, the DEA, the TSA. We need to get rid of them, and we need to refuse, I said this earlier, to refuse to be arrested by any federal police officer. We need to boycott all Jew-owned businesses. We need to boycott and demonstrate against all these stinking Judeo-Christian churches. We need to educate people that don't go to those churches. Just what they are, they're nothing but dens of vipers. They are working hand in hand with these Jew Satanists. So go ahead. That ought to get you started some, Fred. What do you think about that, Fred?
Well, I think that's probably a good idea. I think it's probably going to be a difficult thing to do, because I think the federal government's going to try to enforce some of these decisions. And what we have to do is we have to pick our battles. Some battles aren't worth the fight. And if it's a minor thing, it's not worth doing anything about.
Uh-oh, I hear the music. I can't believe we got to go to another break already. I think Cameron's messing us up on these breaks. No, I'm just joking. Cameron never misses a beat. People, hold on your seats. We'll be right back to the our next session. Be right back.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Wendy King.
A man is holding people hostage at the Congregation Bethel Synagogue in Colleyville, Texas, which is near Dallas. KRLD radio reporter Andrew Greenstein.
A man stormed into the synagogue as the live stream Shabbat services were wrapping up, and he took about four people hostage, including the rabbi. Now, the live stream picked up the man saying things like he wants to talk to his sister on the phone and that he desires death more than the hostages desire life. Now, police have evacuated the area, and SWAT is on the scene continuing to negotiate with the man.
Hospitals are continuing to struggle to keep up with the waves and surges of mostly unvaccinated COVID-19 patients. Washington Governor Jay Inslee said he's had to call in his state's National Guard to help out.
You want to help hospitals handle the volume of patients.
This is USA Radio News.
If cancel culture and censorship continue at their current pace, there will soon be nothing left of the truth. The Epoch Times was founded to keep truth alive. We ask the questions we think you'd ask. We check facts without regards to any political agenda. No one tells us what to cover or how to cover it. We're not influenced by big corporations or political parties. Our great passion is to expose the spread of socialism and communism. We cover the Chinese Communist Party and how it works to subvert American education and politics. We cover big issues like election integrity, the exploding national debt, the fight against coronavirus, and the truth about its origins. We cover Democrats and Republicans in exactly the same way. We have a special trial subscription offer right now. 1 month of our printed paper and total access to our amazing online content for just $1. You'll find it at TrustedNewspaper.com. 1 month, $1. TrustedNewspaper.com. Help the Epoch Times keep truth alive.
Efforts by the White House to pass federal voting rights legislation went nowhere in the Senate after two Democrats made it clear they wouldn't approve changes to the filibuster. Senate Republican Roger Wicker of Mississippi.
Thank heaven for Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema this past week for withstanding the browbeating, the unbelievable pressure that they got from their caucus.
A fire broke out at an industrial complex in New Jersey. The fire broke out just after 8 at Majestic Industries in Passaic. No injuries were immediately reported. Smoke from the fire billowed across the Hudson River into New York City and more than 50 miles into the Atlantic. Majestic Industries manufactures furniture for casinos. Flames spread to an adjoining building used by Qualco, but didn't reach the chlorine pellets that are manufactured there. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Dear people, dear Blood River Radio audience, thank you so much for holding on. We're in our third segment already. I cannot believe time is traveling that fast. But me and Monica and Fred were talking during the break. We have this show here is based on solutions. You know, I have friends, I've told them, I've listened to them. A lot of them will have a lot more education than I got. And I'll say, yeah, it's really great what you're talking about. That should have been talked about 75 years ago, though. And, you know, I know all about how the so-called the white people are supposed to immigrate across the Caucasus Mountains from the, you know, in the Soviet Union, from Kazakhstan over into Western Europe. That's how we become to be called, you know, Caucasians. But I'll say that's all great and wonderful, you know, for entertainment, for history, if you want to be educated. But what in the hell does that have to do with what's going on nowadays? How is that going to keep us from being thrown into debtor's prison? How is that going to deter this inflation, this tape absolutely out of control? Anyway, with that, we'll go back to Miss Monica. Do we need to go to Fred now, or do we need to go back to you? I forgot the order of operations here, y'all. Help me out here, Fred. Fred, did you have something to finish up, or what are we doing?
Oh, I think we're supposed to go back to Monica.
Hey, we were talking about echoes. Yeah, okay, Miss Monica, you were on fire. You were talking about. Let's talk about before we forget. During the break, Miss Monica was telling us about, we've been trying to figure out what kind of monetary system that Hitler had during the Second World War, and she also talked about the Rothschilds being drilled. You can't forget that, Miss Monica. So, Miss Monica, tuck off and tell the people what we talked about during the break.
Yeah, so Hitler did not actually base their currency on gold or silver or anything hard like that. He based it on work. It was a work mark, the Deutsche Mark, German Mark, M-A-R-K, and it was based on work. And I don't know the formula, how it was worked out, but boy, it did a miracle. I mean, leaders from all over the world admired, openly admired, the economic miracle that took place in Germany from 1933 onwards. And he threw out the Rothschilds. He jailed some of the Rothschild members who were in Germany at the time. And he extricated Germany from their banking system. And he did a lot of other things too, like he outlawed many Masonic lodges, any, you know, the Freemasons, that the secret societies. He knew that they were very destructive, and, you know, it was a sort of a, how would you call it, like an infiltrating way of, you know, controlling, but by the enemy, right? So he shut down all these secret societies, the Freemasons, and he got rid of the smut and pornography and whatnot. I mean, when people accuse, oh, those big, bad, evil Germans, they did book burnings. No, there was some university students and whatnot that had some burning sessions that were throwing smut into fires, like pornography, filth. So they did that. But after World War II, who did the burning, the actual destruction of real history and real books was the Allied side. They got rid of thousands and thousands and thousands of titles that were German history, German culture. So much was lost. So everything is opposite. When they accuse the Germans of what they did, it's always the opposite. And you know, whatever is the most taboo thing to talk to, that we're not allowed to talk about, we have to go right to the center of that, because we know that the people who are, you know, forbidding us to approach certain subjects, it's because those are the very things that are the opposite of what they've tried to teach right. us and tell us.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we want, yeah. So that Hitler's money system, that's what we were basically talking about. And getting rid of this Jewish money system, the toxic money system.
You know, Miss Monica, I'm going to go back to Fred. You hit another key point when Fred said we got to pick our battles and stuff like that. But, you know, we the people, we are under this illusion that this God Almighty government is all omnipotent, all omniscient. They're everywhere. They just can't be beat. They're like, I mean, it's just like an ant against an elephant. But I agree with you that the Americans perceive that their power, that the United States federal government's power is much greater than it really is. I submit to you that's really what Hitler said of Russia there, was there in the First World War, and I think even the Second World War, it was a paper tiger. Russia would have been a paper tiger without the help of the so-called allies, without the United States. But you know what? And we were talking about all these queers, these transvestites, these lesbo wannabe men's that are in the military. I think that we by a large magnitude overestimate their power. But anyway, I would like to throw this out there too if we go to Fred. Yes, Monica, absolutely right. Berlin was the perverted smut capital of the world until Hitler came in. I mean, they had this unspeakable filth there, every kind of sex you can imagine. You know why? Because they were starving to death.
Also, it was the Jews. It was the Jews who influenced that. It wasn't the German people who influenced that to bring in all that smut and degeneration in Berlin. It was the Jews who did that.
Absolutely. You're 100,000% right. You know, and like you said, in our people, you know, the Jew world order is always accused, like you said, everything they accuse us of, that everything they accuse the Germans of, they've done it themselves. I'm glad you brought that up. You know, you mentioned something else that's kind of slipped my mind right now that Hitler did. You know, but anyway, Fred, Also, we'll mention these, the Freemasons, you know, Monica mentioned the Freemasons. That's another, that's control started by Jews. But go ahead, Fred, go back to you now. Chime in on what we've been talking about, Fred.
All right. Well, I think the situation with the German economy, and it was a hard job to get rid of the economy that was in place at Weimar. But the bottom line is that these people that were doing that. That whole economy that was existing in Berlin during the Weimar Republic, they weren't Germans. They were all Jews. They used their names. They translated their names into German, but they weren't Jews. They weren't Germans. They were all Jews. The Germans They didn't want anything to do with that crap.
The sorry, Fred, to interrupt, but the Jews are the people who change their names more than anybody else on this face of this earth.
Yes.
Yeah.
And yeah.
You know, we were talking about. Go ahead. Sorry.
I was just gonna say they do it so they can fit in.
That's right.
They can slither in. Yeah. You know,
the chameleons. I'll just add something because we were talking about.
You're fine.
We're talking about some of the Jewish influences on the stage and the smut and the degeneration. Well, a fellow who just died this week, Bob Saget. Now, I don't know, I didn't really know anything about him before now, and then I saw some terrible, terrible videos of what this guy was about. This was the most degenerated, filthy, smut-laden guy, and he's a Jewish comedian, and yeah. I mean, the stuff that came out of his mouth was unbelievably degenerated, and this went over as comedy. I'm telling you, this is a prime example of why we need to get rid of this satanic, you know, influence in our societies. Like, and yet the mainstream media, they talk about him like, oh, he was just such a great comedian. Oh my goodness, there was a scene there that he was describing a family where the children and the mom and the dad, they're all basically raping each other, and there was everything smeared on them and the walls that come out of every orifice of their bodies, and he was laughing his head off while he was describing this horrendous scene. This is Jewish comedy. It's completely sick. I mean, I think he was probably the extreme, but it's how they handle it in the mainstream media that is so telling. They don't say, oh, well, thank goodness this guy is gone because he was terrible. No, they say, oh, we lost a great comedian. Wow. Anyway, I'll pass it back.
I'd like to comment on that before we go back to Fred. You know, last week we were just talking about Miss Valerie Protopapas, and we did an article on, we talked about an article she wrote called The Leaders We Deserve. I'd like to go back to that a little bit. There's a poem here, another break. Golly, people, we're going to a break already. People, hold on to your hats. We're going to our last break. When we come back, I'm going to read this poem Miss Valerie Protopapas talked about in her paper, and we'll go right back to Fred after that. Hang on. Be right back.
I'm Michael Hill, President of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern Nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
Hey, this is Matt from Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is your voice to save our land, our people, and our future. We propose Christian solutions to an anti-Christian assault on our bloodlines. We love what we do, but we cannot do it without your help. The annual operating cost of Blood River Radio is more than even a team of people should bear alone. With your donation, we can take the fight to our enemies and hold our own people accountable for their treachery against us. Please go to our website, www.bloodriverradio.com, and find a way to help us that is suitable for you. We are thankful for any cash, check, or money orders we get. We also appreciate your correspondence or letters of encouragement. Once again, please help, and thank you for joining the fight.
Well, dear people, this back our last segment, and I'm going to read some stuff that we went over last week with Miss Valerie Protopapas. Before I do that, I'm just going to make one more of my solutions, before I forget, we need to completely overhaul the stinking military in this country. This stinking military in the country it's just nothing but a damn satanic, pedophile, drug dealing, homosexual, hellhole. It's run by a homosexual, this General Milley. His buddy, one of his friends went to high school with, I think, what is he, the attorney, the surgeon general or something, got this long hair. He's training. I mean, our military is just so stinking corrupt. Makes my skin crawl. We need to get rid of the stinking military we got along with everything else. That's one of the solutions before I forget. But I know I'm out of order tonight. Anyway, I would like to go back to this poem. This wrote goes right back. Miss Monica was talking about this Jew filthy comedian that the media, the other Jew filthy media, is worshiping. It brought to mind what we talked about last week with Miss Valerie. Here's that poem I'm going to read. It was in this article. She wrote an article called "The Leaders We Deserve" in the American Freedom News. American Freedom News. You need to get that newspaper if you can, people. Here's the poem. Vice is a monster of so frightful mien as to be hated needs but to be seen. Yet seen too oft, familiar with her face, we first endure, then pity, then embrace. We see it too often. We see this smut. Miss Monica was talking about how this guy was this Jewish comedian that the media, they're talking about him like he's the second coming of John the Baptist or something, or the second coming of George Washington. But he was, the fact says he was just peddling just pure, unadulterated, perverted filth. Well, this article, I'm just going to go this read the like one paragraph out of this article we did last week. He talked about before the Jews got rid of the government like we used to have. It says, during the 19th century, philosophers such as John Dewey brought their atheism and humanism into the American education system with the understanding that America would never be free of Christian influence until it was destroyed by the young. He says, but to strike down Christian influences in the culture as well as the government, we had to do that. It was a slow process, but it goes, I'm getting ready to get to the end. But it doesn't take a brilliant scholar to realize that it's such judicial rulings. You're talking about the Supreme Court a minute ago. I'm trying to cover this too fast. I hope not. If such judicial rulings such as abortion on demand and gay marriage had been attempted before 1950, the outcry of the American people would have been unholy. I guess it's unholy, perverted crap. You know what? People would have been. They'd have hung them. I can guarantee double damn tea. They would have hung those people. But you know, we've gone from that. We've gone to me and my wife are talking about a movie called "The Moon Is Blue." We were watching MASH the other night, and they were all hot to see "This Moon Is Blue." It's supposed to be this horribly filth movie, but my wife said that it had two words in it. One word was virgin. I forgot what the other one was. It was just you would laugh at it if you thought they consider that a perverted movie back in those days. But that's how far we've come. Hope I didn't rant too long, and I hope I made sense. But we've gone from banning a movie because it had the term virgin in it in 1950 to nothing is off the table. I mean, sex with animals, you name it, everything goes. Back to you, Miss Monica.
Yeah, that tells you right there how fast they have taken this. They're always pushing at the outer limits of what's acceptable, and that's been this gradual thing which has just sped up. Everything is accelerating, and we see that in every arena of our lives, actually, that everything is accelerating. It's astonishing what is now sort of a quote-unquote acceptable to be talked about or to go on the stage or into a movie. And yeah, it has just gone crazy. But, you know, we were talking about authority and authority of the courts and authority of the government and whatnot, but there's three sentences that a friend of mine taught me a few years ago, and I had them really kind of memorized for a while, and I'm going to say those three sentences, and I think this is really important, this concept. I am sovereign of my domain. You do not have authority over me, and I do not consent. Those three sentences, I think, are really important when we're talking about solutions. See, their authority is largely based on illusions. For example, what we're dealing with now is all these mandates, you know, and businesses are going along with it, and they're shooting themselves in the foot by going along with these mandates, and people are running businesses are being put into the role of becoming either, you know, your medical, like, you know, practicing medicine without a license, and they're also being put into the role of enforcement by having to enforce mandates. And I just want to remind people, mandates are not lawful. They are not laws, for one thing. They're not even legal. They're not laws. They're just mandates. They're like recommendations. But it's because we have this illusion that this is what we have to do, that most people go along with these things. So that's where we have to resist and do not comply, do not obey. So that's that. These are some of the solutions we're talking about, how we stop this agenda. So again, those three sentences, I am sovereign of my domain. You do not have authority over me, and I do not consent. And I'll hand it back over to you, Eddie, or to Fred.
That's great stuff. I'm going to go to Fred. You're absolutely right. That's what we've been saying. These people, they have the illusion. And even if they do have a lot of power, we still have a duty. We have to resist these people, if nothing else, for the future of our grandkids. You know, I'm going to read this, quote this one sentence, and we'll go to Fred. A couple more of these sentences from this article we did last week that Miss Valerie Protopapas did. She said, The killing blow, all, you know, the government, the Jews, all the stuff they've done to destroy our country, destroy our world. Yes, it has been legion what they've done. But the killing blow came from none other than we the people, because we did not do those three sentences you just read, Miss Monica. We the people, we no longer resisted the corruption. We no longer maintained our morals. Because our once great Christian ethic had been replaced by the utilitarian need creed of atheistic secular humanism. And also, our leaders became, and I'm going to shut up and go to Fred, our leaders became more fearful of offending the wicked. They feared offending the wicked more than they desire to protect the helpless. Go back to you, Fred.
All right. Well, I think that's true. What these people don't seem to understand is that they're able to do as much as they do because we let them. And what we have to do is we have to tell them when they try to do something, no, we're not going to do that. And then if they keep on doing, if they keep pushing it, we need to shoot at them. And we need to tell them, look, you got to stop this crap. They have to understand that they don't have the authority. They're not sovereign over us. We are sovereign over them. And we need to enforce that. And
yes.
That's the problem. I mean, a lot of people don't. They say, "Oh, you're going to shoot at the government?" Yeah, I'm going to shoot at the government because
what government?
Well, that's what.
I know what you're talking about.
That's what my Constitution says I'm supposed to do. So, that's what Thomas Paine told me to do. And I'm going to do these things. And I'm going to do these things. So, they only get as far as they get because we let them get it. And we've got to stop it. We've got to push back. And if it comes to shove, we need to shoot at them.
Well, if it says last resort, that's what we have to do.
Yeah. They need to learn. Well, we're almost to the last resort now. That's the problem. So.
That's right. But, their motto, the Mossad motto, by way of deception, thou shalt make war, and how they've gotten us to go along with their agenda is really by deceptive means. They've perverted everything, and through the education system and the lies about history, and that's how they've done it, gotten us to go along with it, and they've abused our trust. We're a very trusting people.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. I wish we had time. We don't, to cover. I wanted to cover this article. This was in the December Freedom Times magazine newspaper. It says Putin for president. If illegals can vote in Biden's America, why not? I mean, get this. How the current government, they're bringing in illegals. I call them illegals by the millions. God only knows how many. And they're bringing them in and letting them vote. They're putting them on. I know everybody knows this. It listens to this show. They get every kind of government subsidy imaginable, free rent, groceries, free education, you name it. They don't pay any tax. They don't have to have liability insurance. They don't even have to have driver's license. But, I don't have time to get this. I wish we had time to cover this article. When people are starting to run out. Go ahead. Go ahead, Ms. Mike.
This thing about democracy and voting, here's a good quote from Ezra Pound, and I don't have it in front of me, so I might not have it word for word, but he said that democracy is Jew speak for a government run by Jews.
Repeat that, if you don't mind.
Yeah. Ezra Pound, the great American poet, right? I'm not sure exactly when he lived, but he said democracy is Jew speak for government run by the Jews.
That makes sense to me. It makes because you know what? You're absolutely right. Because democracy, I know everybody knows this. I feel like I'm repeating what everybody already knows better than I do. Democracy is the worst possible government. Even the Greek, we talked about the founding fathers talked about, but the Greek, I'll say Aristotle. I know one of these great Greeks, Aristotle, Socrates, whatever, he said that, and I know y'all know this, that democracy would work until the people, the lowest common denominator of the people in the government, found out that they could vote themselves largesse from the public treasury. In other words, when they found out they could vote the politician in that would promise them the most, that would give them the most. That's when the democracy would fail, it would collapse under its own weight. You would have fewer and fewer people working, doing the actual production, producing food, electricity, whatever we need. There would be more and more people laying on the welfare system. You see that in the United States right now, Monica. I don't know about what they've done up there. But they've issued like $1,600 checks to people to stay home and not work during the so-called pandemic. And I cannot believe, dear people.
Pure communism,
We run out of time. This is the fastest show ever, I believe. Well, thank you so much, Fred. Thank you, Miss Monica. Thank you, Jay and Cameron. And thank you, all you people out there, for tuning in tonight. I hope you enjoyed this show. I hope I did a good job. Coordinated. I feel a little bit off tonight. But anyway, thank y'all so very, very much. And I'll be getting in touch with you, Mr. Fred, and you, Miss Monica, very soon. Good night, Cameron. Good night, Fred. Good night, Jay. Good night, everybody.